This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, and Reginald Atitula, and I want you guys to help us out with something right now. So we've got the Mavericks presser coming up, where we will hear from any number of the Dallas Mavericks luminaries. But also, if you stream this show, 877 881.
Everybody stop streaming the show.
105.3. It seems as though nobody streams the show. I disagree. Text in, hit us up on the Twitch, hit us up on the YouTube, whatever you want. If you stream this show, I do want to know. Now, in another quick NBA hit for you guys, I don't know if you care about this at all because I realize it is summer league, but I did like seeing Zach Edey have a nice game because, first of all, he got drafted higher than I would have thought. And he was so good in college, and everyone's like, well, he'll never translate at the next level. And it's a summer league game. They could very well still be right. But I did enjoy seeing him succeed, at least at the start, and have a good, I realize, summer league game.
Is he going to dominate the NBA, you think?
Or
is
it not prepared to make such a bold assertion following a summer league game? But I hope he does well.
Not every team can do what Boston did, right? Like, not every team's built that way.
Win a championship?
Well, spread you out that way, the way that they do. But when you do have a big man, you saw kind of what the Mavericks were able to do. I was get to the finals until they ran up against a team that could do what Boston did. So I do think that there's still a place for the big guy in the NBA as a, you know, bench guy, rebounds and all that stuff, and a lob threat and maybe even a post threat, but when it comes to now, you have to figure out how to match up against a team that does that too. So you have to be, I mean, if you want to be one of those championship teams, you have to be flexible to do everything with the capability of doing it and saying, you know what, we can walk away from the big whenever needed, but we can also use it to dominate other teams. Was that was Phil Jackson told Shaq that back in the day, was to build to big? During the season, build to big so that, like, as you're going along, you get bigger throughout the season. This is a story I heard about Shaq. Get bigger as the season goes along so you can punish guys in the playoffs. And obviously that was their MO, was they were going to utilize that as much.
Seemed like he didn't work very hard to get big in the offseason.
Yeah, that was, he was like, I'm just going to keep getting bigger in the regular season.
Now, I guess I did drop the ball because I did not text him anything. People said we needed to text Blake questions because he'll be at the presser.
All right.
We still have time if we want to do that. But by the way, from the 817 YouTube streamer here. Streaming and delivering beer. Ooh, fun. From the 956, I watch the show for hours on YouTube. From the 972, I've been twitching for years. Corey, I don't know if there's anything on the Twitch or the YouTube if you want to add in there.
Right here, from Tony Jones, I'm Mexican, we don't get offended, is what Tony said.
Oh my gosh, are we?
Jason says, Tolo fools. MKW says, Tolo streamer. Eric says stream, and then Tony Jones said, do they think we're bots? Let's cross streams.
Ooh, Ghostbusters reference right
there.
I appreciate that.
Is that Ghostbusters reference?
Yeah. Remember when I choose to say Ghostbusters when they're like, don't cross the stream. If we're ready to go? Oh, okay. 3 minutes till the Mavericks presser.
All right.
I just heard something dramatic in my ear, and I didn't hear what it was, and I assume that meant
was
ready to go.
I'll try not to play the Imperial March in your ears.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. In the meantime, the Texas Rangers are on a by-gosh winning streak. Now, of course, you could argue that already, but another big win yesterday, and the Bats are once again looking top-notch. Well, in a short sample size.
Yes, and what is it, the last two games now scoring 500 runs?
I think that's too money,
it's nice to see that they're starting to swing like that, hearing Bruce Bochy talk about their timing on the fastball and how they're starting to really get out in front of that, and they're starting to drive that the way that they want to. I don't know why it took so long to get to this point. And it's not just like small pieces of it. Aside from Josh Smith, nobody could hit. Nobody could consistently get up there and hit. So I don't know what took it so long, but they have found a groove right now. And maybe teams will say, oh, we see what they're doing, and they'll adjust to it on the other half. Maybe teams are starting to wind down as we get closer to the All-Star game. They're starting to think about other things. This is a great time for the Rangers to take advantage of that.
From the 2-1-4, if they win out and are 500 at the break, the Rangers become buyers. I think even that, you don't quite need it there. I think what we said yesterday was maybe 4-2, definitely 5-1. I think doesn't necessarily automatically make you buyers, but I think it's encouraging. I think it delays the potential of this team becoming a seller. And if nothing else, it just builds up your momentum.
Yeah, the momentum and the confidence of being able to hit, just like hitting right now consistently the way they're doing. And then, as Mike's always said, when it comes to hitters, power comes last. And then, Kevin, if you're doing that in August, September.
Sure.
October.
Or for future years, yes, I agree.
November-ish, okay. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Home runs in November, very nice.
First, yeah, maybe.
November, let it rain, baby, is what I'm talking about. Okay. That is exactly where I'm at. What is the Imperial March? Because I guess I did it wrong. How's the Imperial March? Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum, ba-dum, bum, ba-dum.
I think you threw an extra note in there, but more or less.
All right, gotcha.
I think that is an accurate representation.
From the 903, stuck in the office today, so unfortunately can't listen. So how did they...
They just texted in.
I appreciate that.
So listen.
Get out of the office for a little bit, just to go.
From the 214, watching YouTube on my Nintendo Switch. And from the 682, streaming while driving to Odessa. I like it. I like it. I like it. I appreciate all the people.
Those are the three.
That's apparently what we've learned. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate all of those people streaming. Is there anything in particular from the Mavs presser you care about hearing or you want to hear?
I guess I want to hear that Clay's really excited to be here. I assume that he signed here. He didn't have to sign here if he wasn't excited about it, but we'll get to see in October, November. I think we're going to see a rejuvenated Klay Thompson, not 2016 Klay Thompson. Sure. I get it, but I think we're going to see a better version than 2023-24 Klay Thompson. But press conference, I'm excited to hear about it, but I can't. It's really tough until you see him play with the team.
From Anthony on the YouTube, Mike, do you think the Mavs are done making moves?
Yes.
You're going to add one little side piece.
And it's not going to be something that I would imagine moves the needle. I know people are back in on the Dennis Smith Jr. thing, and we talked about it.
0 minutes.
Yeah.
Unless there's injuries or you're sitting guys out.
So they might add somebody, but maybe it won't.
Not Michael Jordan.
I know.
Or Larry Bird or something like that.
No.
Nice little...
Definitely not that. All right, let's go to the Mavs. Maybe somebody will ask that question right here in the fan.
We're excited to have him in Dallas. In a second, I'm going to turn it over to our VP of Basketball Operations and Assistant GM, Michael Finley, for some opening remarks, and then we'll go into questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll find you with the microphone. And, please state your name and affiliation so these guys can try to get to know you. So with that, Finn.
Yes. First of all, welcome everyone here. Thank you for coming. It's an exciting day for us to add these young men to our organization. Last year, we had a pretty successful year. We did come up a little bit short, but like every other team in this league except for one, we went into this summer trying to get better. And I think with the addition of these three young men here, we're taking a step in the right direction and trying to get better. We have three great young men who I think will do a great job for us on and off the court, and we're very excited to have them a part of the Mavericks organization. So without further ado, open up for questions.
Mike Curtis, Dallas Morning News. Just wanted to say welcome to Clay, Najee, and Quentin. This question is for Clay. Just after 13 years with the Warriors, why was now the time to depart for a new team? And what made Dallas the destination for you?
well, I mean, whether you play basketball or work in the corporate world or wherever, whatever industry, sometimes change just can spur greatness, and a new change of scenery can do wonders. And I'm very grateful for my time at Golden State, but I just felt like, you know, moving on could just re-energize me and do something special for the rest of my career. And Dallas was so attractive because of the young players they have, the style of play, the you know, world-class treatment these players get from this organization, and just a beautiful city who loves their hoops. So when I was watching the playoffs and I'm watching the Mavs, you know, make a run for the championship, I just saw myself fitting in really well with this team and the personnel, and they look like they have fun playing with each other and they play for each other, and that was very attractive for me, and that's really all I needed to see, and there's mutual interest there, and that's why I'm here.
Tim Cato with The Athletic. Clay, you obviously were in the league when Luka entered and debuted. I'm curious your thoughts on, you know, first impressions of him and what you've seen from him as he's gone from a rookie to a superstar, and then the other two, Najee, Quentin. I'm just curious what your expectations are, you know, to play with Luka, what you think it's going to look like, feel like, be like.
Y'all got it.
I mean, everybody knows Luka is one of the top players in the NBA, so I feel like our job is to go out there, play as hard as we can, and just try to get back to the position they was in last year and hopefully win the championship. And then playing with Luka, he makes everybody else on the court job a lot easier. For me as a shooter, just coming in, just learning from Clay, one of the best shooters to ever touch a basketball. So playing with Luka to be fun because he draws so much attention defensively. So I'm ready to knock down open shots, make plays, and just do whatever I can to help this team win.
Yeah, and kind of like Q said, Luka's an amazing player. So just to learn from him and, you know, just to play with him, make the game easier for him. Even to learn from, like, Clay and Quinn, who are great shooters. So I'm just excited to play with everybody, looking forward to it. But, yeah, Luka's an amazing player, and just to make the game easier for him.
I mean, Najee and Quentin said it. Luka, even before he got in the NBA, you watch his EuroLeague highlights, and you're like, this 18-year-old is doing this to grown men? It's crazy. So the impact he had on a rookie, too, you could see that he had greatness ahead of him. I mean, I think pretty sure he gave us a triple-double in Oracle, like, in 2019 as a rookie, and I don't think that's happened to us since maybe like a LeBron or Tim Duncan. So you saw the potential early, and I think just playing off him, Kai, and the rest of the guys, I can help them space the floor and knock down shots or play defense, whatever's needed.
Tim McMahon, ESPN. Clay, I'm sure you've heard, and I know you had conversations with Steph, with Steve Kerr. What has this been like for you, emotionally, kind of going through, divorce is probably not the right word, but, you know, closing that chapter after 13 years and just everything that goes along with that?
I mean, probably a little disappointed at first, but then as time goes on, you have a lot of time to reflect and you realize what you did. They can't take that away from you as far as the championships or, I mean, records are meant to be broken, but the impact you have on a community and all that, that will forever live. And sometimes, you know, breakups are necessary to do what's right. And I'm not the first athlete in the NBA to go through this. I did grow up in Portland, and I remember when Scottie Pippen came to the Blazers, that was like the biggest day of my life. And I'm not saying I'm Scottie, but they were right there against the Lakers, almost won a chip. So I take a lot of inspiration from past athletes and how their careers might have gone, you know, astray when they either left the team or joined a new team. And some guys thrive, and I look forward to just kind of being rejuvenated here and playing a lot of good basketball left in the tank.
Kevin Gray, Mavericks Radio Network, here on the left, Clay, for a question for Clay. For you, just a two-part question. What was your relationship with Kyrie Irving and how that influenced you making the decision to come to Dallas? And how would you define yourself as a player at this stage in your career and what that means to help this Mavericks team try to win a championship going forward?
It's
Some good questions.
Kyrie and I are good friends. I mean, we came in the league together in 2011. We played on Team USA together twice. Obviously, we played against each other in the highest stages for many years, and I've always been a fan of Kai's game, and guarding him was hell, so it's nice to be on the other end of that for once and see other defenders get loose and get shook by him. That's going to be a good sight to see. And then part two, at this point in my career, I mean, still can't leave me open, and I can guard, and I'm just excited. I still think I can do what I've been able to do, and it's just about being in the best shape I can possibly be, but I know I can help this team, whether it's the knowledge I've gained or big scoring nights. I just still know I can be a very, very good player in this league.
You're good. Welcome, guys. Blake Elliott, 105.3 The Fan. This is for all of y'all. One of the marks that this Mavs team made was kind of defense and toughness. I just wonder how much of all three of y'all identify with that and help to implement that with this Mavs team this year.
Well, I say playing against these two, I mean, that's why they're here. Not because they, it's pretty, because they lock up, they're willing to do the dirty work, and I've got against both them, so we're going to have some battles in practice. I'm excited about that.
Definitely. That's kind of my MO, toughness, defense. So one of the things I bring to the game, and something I love to do. So like you said, you know, that's kind of what they use to get what they got this year, and I'm just here to pick up whatever slack they lost or just add to.
Yeah, same thing, just reiterate what they said, just coming in. That was kind of my calling card coming in from Houston, playing for Coach Sampson. Kind of, you can't play defense, you're not going to be on the floor. So playing for Tibbs as well, too, if you don't play defense and scrap and fire for every 50-50 ball, you're not going to court. So that's what I try to do from day one, and I'm going to still do it till I can't play the game anymore, really.
Eddie Sefko, Mavs.com. Najee, well, all of you really, I'm sure, had times to guard Luka, but you in particular, what was it like trying to lock him down, and how much of a relief is it to be on this side now as opposed to that side?
Definitely a relief. Man, Luka's a high-level player, man, so locking down, I won't use that word, but maintain, you know, all three levels, just unbelievable. So just to be on his team, and like Clay said, let him do that to other people, I'm going to get enjoyment out of that for real.
And I don't recall, it's been a long time, but I don't remember if Steve Francis went to Tacoma Park, but did you break all his records around that area?
No, I didn't. He was from that area. I don't think he went to Tacoma Park, but I would have had to go there for a long time to do all that.
Nui Scruggs, NBC5. Michael, first question for you. You know what it's like to be an all-star player with a franchise and then making the move like you did to the Spurs. What conversations do you have with Clay about that? And then for Clay, obviously your dad, Michael, longtime Laker and radio voice, came out and said he was disappointed. Have you guys made up on that? Is it okay at the house?
Well, to answer your question, we talked about this at dinner, and it wasn't about the basketball. I talked to him more about the experience and the veteran leadership that he can bring to the team. The difference is he was a champion going to a different team, and I was a guy trying to get a championship. But the experience and veteran leadership, we do have commonality there. And I think with Clay, he can bring that experience, that knowledge for the young kid, I mean, for the young players, as well as Luka and Kai. So experience is key, and I think he brings that to the table.
Yeah, my dad was disappointed. I don't really haven't talked to him much about it, but at the end of the day, he was happy for me. I mean, he was a little selfish in his business interests because he wanted me to be at home with the family. I was like, Dad, I've been in California my whole life. I got to experience something new. So he understood, and he's actually really excited for me, and he thinks we have a great shot to do something special here, not just this year, but for many years. So he was all on board once the dust settled and he realized that it was really a match made in heaven.
Wayne Price, Mavs.com. Quentin, you have a brother that plays for in the National Hockey League with Vancouver. What's that like when you guys get together and talking basketball and hockey? And for Clay, you once scored 60 points on just 11 dribbles. I don't know how you did that. Could you explain that to us?
Come on. Chicago, but yeah, nah, just being with my brother being in the NHL, really my first year actually going to see him in the playoffs, because just in high school I had AAU for a couple of leagues and seasons in the league. He was knocked out the first round and stuff like that. So being able to go watch him in the playoffs, you kind of showed that what it's like for him, because he's going on his, I think he just signed another contract, so it'll be going on at year 18 when he's done. So just seeing a guy like that, just being able, when I was in high school, be able to pick his brain, like what it's like to be a pro, how to take care of my body, being able to see like what he does on a day-to-day basis and how to just level up his game on the ice, I guess you could say. So it was definitely a big help for me just having somebody like that, another pro athlete in my household. I can just pick up the phone and call and just talk about how to take care of my body, how to just try to take that next step in high school. But he's been a huge help for me during this process, just in the league all the time, highs, lows, somebody I can call and just talk to all the time about, and just the little things just about being a professional athlete, really.
Yeah, it was a good night for me. I mean, I was lucky to have Steph and KD on the floor, so, you know, they weren't going to leave them. And I also played with some great passing big men. I mean, Zaza was on the team, and he gave me permission to wear number 27 here, actually, so that was nice of him. But other than that, I mean, just one of those nights where you're in the zone and you don't really think about much other than just getting that ball and let it flick off your wrists. And hopefully you have many nights like that in the Mavs uniform, though. That'd be nice.
Good morning. Over here to your left, Valencia King with Real Talk Sports. Welcome to Dallas, all of you. And my question is kind of deals with family, and you touched on it a little bit, Q, but we know no one gets to this level of success without a support in the village around them. What is it like sharing these moments with your family, and how do you kind of have those conversations and thanking them for being your support along the way?
Yeah, my family has been super, super supportive my whole career. My mom should do, I think, as any mom would, to do whatever she could to make sure to see her son reach her dream. And just, I give all the glory to her. Her and my dad were the biggest inspiration for me growing up. They did anything possible for me to make sure I was in the best position possible to reach my dreams. So I give really all the credit to them, because without them, I definitely wouldn't be here today at all.
Yeah, definitely. Basically stole the words out of my mouth. My mother, my dad, you know, my AAU coach. They just really been supportive of me. I got a bunch of siblings, so they're just all happy for me, and it's just a great time for us all. Put in a lot of work to get here, you know, and they all helped me out and played a factor. So just to be able to be at this moment and just to have them here even is unbelievable.
Yeah, like Najee and Quentin said, just starts with your parents. And I was lucky enough to have two brothers who beat up on me until I was 18. Both professional athletes, and my father played obviously in the pros, so it kind of was my calling. I just wanted to do what he did and fell in love with the game early, and they never forced me really to do anything. I always had a love for it, and they just always supported me, and I'm excited to get them out here to Dallas, though. We're going to have a great time, and Southern hospitality is real, so I'm really excited to experience that.
Rashad Miller, Dallas Weekly. I have two questions for Najee and one for Clay. First, you know your nickname, the Knife. You were undrafted, so what was the motivation behind you making sure that you had different things that you could display on the court? And also, last season, the Pelicans faced a lot of injuries. So how did you utilize that time to get better at the game?
Being undrafted, what motivated me, I just knew I was a good player. And I just wanted the opportunity to showcase my skills, and I knew when I got that opportunity, you know, it was over with. But as far as the Pelicans, yeah, we had a lot of injuries, and just being able to be the next man up, you know, other teams don't have sympathy for you. And, you know, when it's your opportunity, you gotta take full advantage of it, you know, because you may not get many. So that's just kind of how I looked at it, really.
And for Clay, I know the Bahamian team didn't make it to the Olympics, but what do you see for that program, and what do you want to contribute to that program?
Oh, man, shout out Chris DeMarco and him being able to bring the islands together and a nation of 400,000 people. That's very dear to my heart, because that's where my family's from. My father grew up, and I still visit my aunties and uncles and cousins out there. And for there to be three NBA players and Buddy, DeAndre, and Kai from that small island, and a chance to go to the Olympics is so special. I just look forward to contributing, you know, my knowledge of the game. I mean, Anta Apparel has sponsored the jerseys, helped out with the travel. So just lending a helping hand as much as I can, because when my father came up and he was playing in the league, the Bahamas didn't have the infrastructure or the as it wasn't as organized as it is now. And Chris has done a great job, along with Buddy and Eric and DeAndre, of really building a great basketball culture in the islands. And the fact they were one game away from the Olympics is incredible, and it's super inspiring for anybody who's from the Caribbean that, you know, you can make it and make noise on the world stage. So I'm just proud of the Team Bahamas.
Clay, Chuck Cooperstein, Mavericks Radio play-by-play. How surreal is this moment, the fact that you are sitting here as a member of the Mavericks doing something, as you mentioned, you wanted, telling people you wanted to do something different, but the reality that you are actually doing something different right now?
Yeah, surreal, but I'm embracing it. The organization showed me so much love, and the fans, whether it's on the internet or in the street, are very grateful. And everyone I met, there's just a great buzz around the city, especially coming off a championship appearance. Everyone wants to get over that hump, and that's what was so attractive to me, is to be someone who can help them win and help these young guys grow. And being on the back end of my career or in my 30s, it's so special to have this opportunity. Not many guys who play 13 years get a chance to win a championship or championships to end their career. And I think we're set up for a great run, and expectations are high, but you got to welcome that. I mean, that's what you want as an athlete. You want to have that pressure, and you want to have expectations from the fan base, the city, that, you know, we want a winner. And that's what attracted me too. I'm not really into breaking more shooting records. I just want to win at this point. That's what I learned in Golden State. Like, everyone's got to make sacrifices to win at the highest level. And I'll make sacrifices for the team, but as long as we play winning basketball, that's all that matters.
Skyler Dixon with the AP. Clay, Steph said this week that the thing he wanted for you more than anything was to see the joy back in your game. Had you lost some of the joy in the game?
There was times last year it was really tough. I mean, you know, everyone expects you to be that all-NBA player, and, you know, sometimes it's hard to consistently do that. That's why there's only 15 slots on that team, and coming here is just such a fresh start and feeling just wanted again, and, like, I bring great value. It just gets me excited to go out there and even work out after this press conference and get shots up. And so, yeah, there was times last year it was tough where it wasn't as joyful as it had been in the past. And it's nice to kind of shed that and have a whole new fresh start, whole new group of guys to get to know, and co-workers. So a whole new city. It's really cool, and I'm going to embrace the heck out of this opportunity.
Dorothy Gentry with iMessenger Media. I'm back here, guys. Right over here. Dorothy Gentry with iMessenger Media. Quentin and Najee and Clay, two questions for all three of you. One, when and where are each of you the happiest? And then number two, if you had a different talent other than basketball, what would that be? Can you sing, dance, tap dance, swim, what?
I'm going to let the Young Bucks get that one first. I got to think about that.
I think we could all agree that we're definitely the happiest on the basketball court. I feel like anytime you're going through a good day, a bad day, like, you want to be on that court putting in work, just trying to get better, and just for the love of the game, just being out there hearing the ball bounce and then go through the net. That's just, to me, no better feeling for sure, definitely being on that basketball court. And then to your second question, I guess hitting talent, I mean, I guess I can juggle a little bit, play the piano a little bit. So if that's a hidden talent, I would go with those two for sure.
Definitely probably the gym. Nice summer day when you got all your work in, and it's cool outside, you don't got nothing else to do. That's probably one of my favorite places to be. But I'm talented at everything, to be honest. I can do it all, so you name it, I'm good at it. So
that's funny. I mean, I'm with them. We're hoopers, so we're happiest on the hardwood, playing pickup, getting shots up, music blaring in the background. Yeah, sure. And then Man, I'm also my happiest when I'm next to a body of water. And everyone knows I love the ocean, but it could be a lake, it could be a creek. I got a fishing rod or I got a kayak, something to just, some water sport really gets me excited. And if I didn't hoop, what my hidden talent? I'm pretty good at, like, I'll be a good Jeopardy contestant. I really feel that way. I got a lot of knowledge that's pretty useless, but a lot of hours spent on Wikipedia and stuff. So I got some random facts stored in here.
Tim Cato with The Athletic again. I've got one for Clay, one for Michael. Clay, you talked about your relationship with Kyrie earlier, but when you say you feel like this is a chance to be rejuvenated, how much did Kyrie and watching Kyrie and watching, you know, how he has been rejuvenated here in Dallas, whether it's conversations with him or just watching him, how much did that affect and impact this decision?
He actually was one of the first people to text me just how grateful he is to be here and how the city's embraced him, the organization's embraced him, especially after what he had to go through. And I've known Kai for a long time, and he's been super down to earth ever since I met him, and just a very gracious person. And for him to come here and embrace the city and embrace the role he has just inspired me. Because, I mean, they were so close to winning the whole thing. And, you know, I think we can help get them over that hump. And, sorry, what was part two?
That was pretty much it. Okay. Just whether you had conversations directly about that or just watching him.
Yeah, we did. We had some good. Yeah. We text a lot nowadays. Us millennials. So we had some good text threads. Yeah.
And then, Michael, what was the process like for you guys in the front office? Like, you've got some shooters up here. When did you guys as a front office, you know, kind of come to the realization that this roster, you know, needed more shooting? Was it something that you learned in the playoffs? Was it something you learned in the finals? Was it something that even before the playoffs started that you hope to address in the offseason?
Well, I think every team in the league would love to have more shooting. That's the way the game is going. And it was very obvious during our playoff runs, especially in the games that we lost, not only in the finals, but in some of the other playoff games, that if we had more shooting, it would gives us a better opportunity to win those games. And I think in the finals, we saw that a couple of games. We make a shot here and there. That's a different series. So now, by adding these type of players, it's not going to answer it's not going to be the ultimate answer per se, but it gives us a better chance to win those games when we need big shots to be made, and especially I know these three guys are capable of taking and making those big shots.
Nick Angston from Locked On, first for Clay. A lot has been said about how difficult last season was for you. What's the most frustrating thing on the court that you're hoping to break out of here in Dallas? And then for Quinn and Najee, what parts of your game do you hope take another step here in Dallas?
Well, with guys like Luka and Kyrie on the floor, I think just me being out there is going to give them a lot of space to operate, and same with our big men. I mean, and Derek and Daniel, just their ability to roll and finish is also great. I play really well with big men who, can, like me and Trace Jackson, had a great rapport last year because he's so good at the rim, and I saw the same thing with those two guys, and I don't think you can stick to me as much as you could in the past with guys like Luka and Kai out there, and that's what also was very attractive for me.
I think just my overall game, get better on defensive end, offensive end. Just from every way, just in every type of way, just get better, make the game easier, continue to soak up knowledge and learn.
Then for me, it's kind of to get back to being more of a playmaker, like how I was in college and high school and stuff like that. Is it like you said, like Luke and Kyrie and Clay definitely gonna have a lot of attention on them on the court. So just, you know, the playoff closeouts, knocking down, taking open shots when it's there. So just being able to learn from Jay Kidd, and you can see from watching all the games in the playoffs, he gives freedom to all the guys out there. So I'm super excited about that. Just learning every day from this. It's a great organization. It felt like family the whole time. I was in the building yesterday, meeting everybody, a bunch of new faces. So I'm really excited to just be around the whole organization, everybody, every single day.
Yeah, Finn,
You've lived through a lot of the history of this organization and seen the comments through the years of not being able to reel in the big free agent fish. How did this come about over a term of months or years, or how would you describe the process?
Winning. Everyone wants to be a part of a winner. In the past, you know, Dallas has had, you know, some winning teams, but we just couldn't get over the hump of being a consistent winner. And over the past couple years, I think the word around the league is that not only we are a winning organization on the court, but off the court as well. And I think with that, it makes it attractive for guys like this to want to join us and make our organization and our team even better. So I think winning is a very easy to sell to athletes nowadays, to put them in a winning environment. And these guys are grateful enough to join us in that.
There you go. Dallas Mavericks press conference, introductory press conference right here on 105.3 The Fan. A lot to decompress from. Coming up next, let's talk about a couple of things that they said in there, because Corey, you made the observation. It sounds like everyone understands their very well-defined roles. Let's talk about that next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Got the opportunity to hear from Najee Marshall, Quentin Grimes, Klay Thompson, Michael Finley this morning. And one of the things that Klay said immediately that I was like, I mean, I get that's what he would say, but I love that he said it. I'm not here to just break more shooting records. I'm here to win.
Yeah.
And then the other part that maybe goes along with that is, the question was, did you kind of lose some love for the game last year? And why he didn't immediately come out and be like, yes, I did. The large hesitation kind of told you a whole lot. And then the rest of his answer, I think, filled in the blanks.
Yeah, he had. You even said when it was asked, that's a really good question.
That was a fantastic question.
And I think instead of saying that's a really good question, he had to pause for a minute and think, because he was like, oh, man, this is a thoughtful one. And he did sound like, man, there was a lot of stuff missing from me last year, from the me who I am, like emotionally and personally. And I think you saw it on the court at times, and you saw it come out. And hopefully, like he said, this is a fresh start. Those frustrations don't seep back in any way for him, because if his real goal, Kevin, is I want to add another ring to it because I want to show Golden State, you know, that I still am a championship guy and they should have paid me that way and all those things. Like, again, this goes back to the three keys for athletes. One of them is revenge. He wants that revenge on Golden State to say, because he even mentioned how many times he felt let down by them. So he wants that.
I also think someday he wants this move to go down in the pantheon of the Scottie Pippen move.
Yes, he does.
The way he was like, I'm not saying I'm Scottie Pippen. He was like, but that move was huge.
Yes.
Like, I loved his enthusiasm for that, as well as the fact that if he didn't play basketball, Klay Thompson said Jeopardy would be his go-to because he knows a lot of useless information.
Don't we all think we know a lot of useless information, man, until the question's asked?
Jeopardy and like, will humble you.
Just happened. I didn't know that.
Absolutely. I knew somebody once, they wanted their girlfriend on Jeopardy so bad that they had to do like an almost all the way across the court hook shot at a basketball court.
And they made it?
Yeah.
That white man can't
Yeah.
Jump?
Uh-huh. He did.
Yeah, with Jack Harlow, I believe.
I have not seen that version. I don't know if they rolled through like the exact same plot
what
or anything.
What are you doing right now?
But then also, Corey, you said it seemed like everyone had a really good idea and defined breakdown of what they were going to do for this team.
When you're doing a bunch of things that maybe you're being asked to do some things that you're not good at or that you can't do as well, and then you are told, hey, look, man, here's the vision of what we want, and it's exactly what you're good at. They're taking your best qualities and saying, now come do that. We'll work and develop on some other stuff, but we need this. We need that out of you. It sounded like each one of these guys understood exactly what they're good at, and they saw, I can do that in Dallas, and I'm not going to be asked to do the other things that I can't do as well. Quentin Grimes, hey, man, go get 50-50 balls. Hustle. Be that guy on defense. I love hearing that.
That was, man, that felt big. Because I know you can say whatever you want, but like, how often do you watch the Mavericks? Maybe in the past. Obviously, it evolved a lot over the last 3 months where you're like, It's a 50-50 ball. Like, why do we get them 30% of the time?
Who typically got those whenever he was possibly on the court? It felt like it was Josh Green. And now that he's not here, you have another guy that has that mindset of, that's what I'm going after. And to hear Najee Marshall say, make it easier on some of these guys. He's talking about being a body that can push people around, too, for so Luka and Kyrie to don't have to do that.
From the 561, happy Tuesday, y'all. Pretty sweet that we'll have a Splash Brother donning a Mavs jersey when the season starts. However, what the F were the Stars thinking when they signed Dumba? That was the thing I meant to tell you yesterday, Corey. He says he feels really bad.
About the Pavelski thing?
About the Pavelski thing now. He didn't say now, but he wants to make it right and make it up to all the Metroplex fans. So maybe, Corey, we'll let you decide what he needs to do.
Win a championship and then, you know, say this one's for Joe.
Oh, that's...
After you win it.
That's nice.
There you go.
That is nice. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacek.
Future Rangers in the Futures game on Saturday. How are they doing in the minor leagues next?
The 0-2 is crunched high into the air, deep center field. Moniak going back. He's at the wall looking up, and it's gone. Way up onto the batter's eye above the ficus trees. He hit that about halfway up that long berm.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacek.
Well, really good win for the Rangers yesterday as they score a lot of runs and are able to hold on. There was a little bit of a scare, but David Robertson came in with the bases loaded and got out of that situation. Josh Spores pitched the ninth inning, and I watched him pitch because you mentioned him yesterday, Corey, and I don't... His shoulder is right enough to pitch, but he was 94-ish on his fastball. His last one was 95, so that is not the speed that he threw at in the playoffs last year.
Not at all.
We'll kind of see if that progresses and gets better in the second half of the season. On Saturday at 3 p.m., the Futures game is taking place, and the Rangers have three guys in the Futures game. I think I've talked enough about Sebastian Walcott, so I'll get to him last if I get to him here, if I have enough time. He's the shortstop who's 18 years old in A-ball, but I really didn't know anything about Emiliano Teodo. T-E-O-D-O.
Okay. Or Teodo.
Teodo?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good. So he is having a great season. So I wanted to look up, kind of besides the stats, more about this guy who we could see pitch one inning on Saturday. And I know that the tickets are cheap for that compared to like the All-Star game in the upper deck. It's $300 a ticket.
Okay.
For this Futures game in the upper deck, it's $40 a ticket.
Oh, wow. All right.
So, I mean, just the big difference in Saturday at 3 o'clock. I don't know how many seats are available for the Futures game. I think there's some still available. Yeah. But you will get to see the best prospects in baseball play in the game.
And I just kind of think it would just be fun to be like part of the deal. You know what I'm saying? Like part of the events out there and everything.
Yeah. And so I know Saturday and Sunday I'll be out there in the morning on Saturday. I'm getting my times changed because I'm running into, I have Rangers pre and post this weekend for the Houston Astros series. And so I kind of got double booked there. So I'm trying to work on being able to get out and be one of the legends at the
should I take it by your pronunciation that you do not feel as though you belong in
they
that
have point? Like, hey, Torrey Hunter, Raleigh Fingers, Mike Bacek Jr.
Like, hey. I don't see the issue.
Yeah.
Me either.
Sounds he's equivalent.
Awesome. Yeah. So
he doesn't have a mustache.
So Emiliano Teodo, if I'm saying that right, has had a great year. Now he is little. He is a right-handed pitcher. I won't say starter. He is starting this year, but when I've read up more on him, the Rangers aren't sure if he's a future starter or reliever.
Okay.
He's 6'1" and only 165 pounds.
Ideally, are you hoping for, is it 6'3"? Are you more concerned about the
weight? 6'1", I'm fine with him, but they say he's skinny, like he's little on the mound.
Okay.
Now, he does touch 103 miles an hour, throws at 95 to 98. Oof. He does have control issues, but here's his numbers this year in Double A. Is He's 5-2 with a 1.71 ERA in 14 starts. That's 68 and a third innings. Now, here's where he's the scouting report says below average in, and the numbers do show that he is below average in this. He has 34 walks in 68 and a third innings. In the month of June, he had 5 starts. He also hit 5 guys in that month. Okay. So he is wild,
yeah.
And it's scary for hitters when you're throwing 100 miles an hour and you're just a thrower. So in a way, it's very effective wild as the hitters are getting into the box going, I really just want to survive this at bat.
Where if it was Jamie Moyer or whoever, you're like, right. That'd be okay.
Or let's just say Jacob DeGrom, when he's healthy, throws 100. Yeah. We saw that last year in April. You're not so concerned that he might kill you.
Right.
Because he doesn't know where the ball is going. So that's one thing. But they do say that they think he's going to be part of the Texas Rangers next year.
Oh,
now,
really?
I'm not saying he won't be this year, but sure. I'm just saying that when you look at the scouting report that they have on him, they think that he'll be ready for the major leagues at some point next year. He's 23 years old in AA. Then the other pitcher is Winston Santos. Now, the good news is these guys have kind of come out of nowhere. They're the 14th and the 15th best prospects for the Texas Rangers on the top 30 list. They will probably move way up at the All-Star break.
Yeah.
I think they make an adjustment on your top 30 prospects. They will both be in the top 10. But this young man in high A ball, he just got promoted to double A, has 2 starts in double A. They've been okay at best. But in high A, he was 6-3 with a 2.8 ERA in 64 and a third innings. He has 20 walks and 81 strikeouts.
Wow.
Now, he throws the ball more in the low to mid 90s. And so he has a little bit more control than Teoto, but those are your two pitchers in the futures game. And then Sebastian Walcott will be your one position player in the game. And I'm just going to remind everybody right now, his stats don't look awesome. But if you look at overall what he's done in April, Sebastian Walcott, who just turned 18 years old in spring training in A ball, he hit 191 with 2 RBIs.
Gross.
In May, he hit 198 with 8 RBIs.
Almost as gross.
Right. Now, in June, he hit 286 with an 853 OPS.
Positive. Oh, yeah.
July, there's very little July so far, but sure. We're in July. He is hitting 350 with a 1058 OPS.
Wow, that's what I predicted.
So his improvement is tremendous throughout this season. So he's the number one prospect for the Rangers, 18 years old, 6'4", about 200 pounds. You know, we talked to Michael Young about him early in the season and what, you know, he liked, or, you know, in spring training. So Walcott will be your position player. I don't know how many innings he'll play. I'm going to assume 3, maybe 4, and get an at bat.
Yeah.
Usually that's about what you get. But the guys to watch, Walcott will be your position player. And then you have 2 pitchers to watch in the futures game on Saturday at 3:00.
I'm kind of excited about that game. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, what's been your favorite addition or perhaps subtraction of the Mavs offseason? Plus, a couple more notes from the presser and a great thought from Jared Dudley. All next right here on The Fan.